Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to check it out and use it to your advantage. It's free. Everything there is just for you. It's designed to be free. No barrier to entry. I'm excited about having Quinn Studer back on the show. Quinn is an HR professional. The guy's worked with human beings for a long time, and his book is called Hardwiring Excellence, and he's a guy who talks just about how to make sure that we take care of those people who work for us and work with us because they're the people who take care of our customers. I think he's got a little bit of both of those things to talk to us about today. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be on. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Just before you got here, I told the audience that you'd give us some tips on how to make sure that when we actually find a good person, the right person for the job, that we don't blow it, that we hang on to them. What do you think?
Sure. Hello?
Well, I'm here. I say, what do you think about that? Tell us. Give us a couple of tips on that.
Well, good. You know, we have over 100 employees, and we work with organizations around the country. And I'm going to give a couple quick tips. And this one is so guaranteed to work that I'm almost amazed that when we recommend it, sometimes an organization doesn't do it right away, because it might seem easy, but it just works. When we've done research and we work with lots of companies, this last year we worked with companies that represent probably almost over 500,000-600,000 employees when you add them all up. This is one that we have done research. We called evidence-based leadership, which means, you know, it's not just anecdotal. We have research that shows when you do this, you reduce your turnover 66%. So what we find is if when you hire somebody, tell them that you're going to meet with them the 30th day. And tell them you're going to meet with them the 30th day, and you're going to go over four questions. And let me give these questions. And if anybody wants to write me an email at Quint, Quint, at Studer Group, Studer Group.com, I can also send these away. And the first question, Jim, I would ask you is, how do we compare to what we said we are going to be like?
27%. Wow, holding yourself accountable.
Well, 27% of all employees that quit their job quit within the first 90 days.
Is that right? A fourth?
Yeah, 50% quit within the first year. So if you can keep people the first 90 days, you've got a great chance of keeping them.
Well, and you know, Quint, those numbers are shocking and frightening, because small business owners barely have the time and resources to do this once, let alone to have to come back and do it again in 90 days or a year.
Well, I think for small business owners, you know, I always tell people small business owners have to be better leaders than large business owners, because if they lose an employee, you might be losing a major part of your workforce. Or if you've got 3,000-4,000 employees and you lose one, you've lost one.
Right.
You know, if you've got 9 and you lose one, or 10, you've lost 10% of your workforce.
Folks, these are low-hanging fruit, inexpensive steps to take to really make a big difference in the success of your company. So go ahead, give us number two.
So question number one is, how do we compare to what we said? And we find there's three areas that an employee will be uncomfortable with right off the bat. And they won't say it, but they will. If their schedule's different than what they thought, if their training is different than what they thought, or if their job is different than what they thought. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that, you know, sometimes you hire someone, you hire them thinking they're going to do something, but you're going to put them in a little bit of training early on, and they think, well, gee, you know, is this what I'm going to do all the time? So that's usually, I call that the value question or the communication question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first one. The second one is, tell me what's going well. Because employees early on have a tendency to look at what they're struggling with or what they're not doing well. which makes them sometimes feel like they're not going to make it. I talk to employees that are leaving an organization, and I ask them why they're leaving. They tell me they're not going to make it. I go to the employer, and the employer says, no, they're doing fine. That's where they're supposed to be. But if you don't have that communication, employees feel they're not doing that well. So you ask them, tell me what's going well. And the second part of that question is, who's been helpful to you? Because that allows us to know if our coworkers are making it easier or harder. You know, sometimes we have companies where we call it eat our young.
Right.
You know, we make it so difficult on a new employee, and then we wonder why we don't have them.
You know, Quint, in your work, I bet you're amazed when you poll managers and the staff and ask them the same question, and you get an absolutely 180-degree different answers from the two groups.
Well, I think what happens is, you know, especially small businesses, most of the supervisors are either homegrown or they've developed the company or, you know, sometimes just a real lack of training.
Right, exactly. All right, go ahead.
So the second question was, tell me what's going well and who's been helpful. The third question is I think, pretty interesting. And this year, we worked with five organizations that actually had site visits for the Malcolm Baldrige Award. And one of the questions that we really like employers to ask or a boss to ask is, and I would ask this to you, Jim, if you went from one business to another and I've hired you, I'd say, I know at your last place you worked, they did a lot of good things. Based on what you've seen here so far, what are some of your ideas to make us better? What I find is people want to give input, but they're a little afraid. Because sometimes when they give input, the employees that are there say, hey, this is how we do it. This is how we've always done it. Gee, if you don't work there anymore. In fact, maybe you want to go back. And we shut down new employees real quick when most of the time we've hired them because they have experience. So that's what we call harvesting their experience from their last place of work.
Right. A fourth question.
Is there any reason you would think about leaving? If you do that the 30th day, and we've got research, and then we have two other questions to add on the 90th day, you will drop your turnover guaranteed 66%.
Wow.
And you will end up with great ideas on how to improve the company.
Boy, I tell you what, folks, I hope you made those notes. If you didn't, you can go back and listen to it again. As you know, the show is archived, and Quint Studer's interview in a couple of hours will absolutely be up on our website by itself. And if you go to quint@studergroup.com, he will send you a copy of this. We're going to be right back with Quint Studer. He and I will talk some more about this right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Quint Studer. He's the president of the Studer Group. And Quint, tell us about the Studer Group.
Well, we work with organizations across the country, and normally when people hire us, they actually hire us to fix customer service. And after we're there a while, we end up dealing a lot with the employee issues, because we find that the customer issues are usually coming from employee issues.
Right. The website is studergroup.com?
Yeah, www.studergroup.com. We have over 100 full-time employees, and, you know, you don't read a lot about us, but you read a lot about the organizations that we work with.
Right. And your book, Hardwiring Excellence.
Hardwiring Excellence, in fact.
Is available wherever books are sold?
Yeah, or they can go on our website, and I always tell people, get on our website, then you can actually sell it on eBay and make $3. And that book's been amazing, Jim. It's over 200,000 copies right now.
Congratulations. Well done.
Well, thank you.
You were talking about customer service. Folks, notice the way Quint is leading us down this yellow brick road from employee retention, employee satisfaction, to customer service. These two things are absolutely joined at the hips, aren't they, Quint?
Oh, yeah. We've got, again, research that can show you exact, you know, graphing on how when employee satisfaction goes up, customer satisfaction goes up.
Well, you know, when there are companies that I know and that I've worked with over the years when I was doing consulting full-time years ago, and I'd see these companies go through rough patches. I mean, you know, the economy wasn't so great for wherever they were. The company was having capitalization problems. There'd be some other issues that would happen. But they found a way to retain their people. They had extreme retention experiences. I mean, they had people, many of their people, like probably their average tenure was like 8 or 9, 10 years out of a 30-person company. That's extraordinary. And I'm convinced that the thing that held these people, this thing together, was the way the customers connected to the people.
I think that what we find is the number one reason why an employee leaves their job is because of their supervisor. 39% of all employees, when you ask them why they quit, it's, I don't think my boss cared about me. Mm-hmm. And that's why those questions I just gave sort of connect that supervisor and employee relationship. And then, of course, if the employee, you know, my wife and I were in a store the other day, and my wife said, this guy doesn't like his job.
Right.
Who was waiting on us. And you could tell. And, of course, he had the longest line. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he had the grumpiest attitude, so he'd go slower. So, and it makes a huge impact. You know, you can tell great service, and you can tell not so great service.
Well,
and you always feel bad because, you know, the owner might not, if the owner was there, he might do it differently. But, you know, the owner's losing his business, and he might not even realize it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is what people don't realize sometimes, and too many small business owners don't get this, Quint. When I go to a place like that and I get treated like that by somebody, maybe they didn't do anything to me. Maybe they did check me out just fine. They waited on me just fine. But it didn't make me want to go back there. And
right.
And in a world where I've got 16 choices, you know, within all I got to do is spin around and I got 16 choices in front of me, I can go online and get 16 million choices. That's not a good thing, is it?
No, and Jim, you know, the interesting thing with retention, and it also says same store sales, which means the longer I hang on to people, the people will do more business with me. And normally because the retained employee knows more about what we can offer, more about services, more about where things are at, where the new employee might just say something like, you know, I don't know.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. And so it even connects to not only the first sale, but continued sales. And then, of course, you know, I guess you would call it upselling.
Well, see, the person like you were just talking about, they have the disease that I call customer. What customer?
Right.
And they don't, it's like they don't really see the person. It's like they don't connect why that customer is there and the connection between that customer and their own livelihood. They don't make that connection.
I think what we call it is, you know, people act like renters instead of owners.
Yeah.
And what you want, of course, do is get an employee base where they feel like owners. And those companies you were explaining earlier, where people stay a long time, that's when mm-hmm. they feel like an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you can always tell if an owner's there or not, because the owner will keep the store open and let the customer in. The employee locks the door and acts like they don't see you standing outside.
Quint, I've got about a minute left. As you've been in this business a long time, what have you seen as an emerging trend, good or not so good, in the area of managing people?
In managing people, I think you're seeing much more investment, and you have to train a supervisor. This just doesn't come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And even small companies now are understanding that I've got to send my people to some type of training.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't, you know, when you ask most managers how they learn to be a manager, well, I just got promoted. And half
right.
the time they don't even want the job. So they say, well, can you just help me out on an interim basis?
Right.
Of course, interim lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's smart small business owners understanding that when you invest in your supervisors through training, it pays for itself over and over and over again.
Especially if you've charged those people with taking care of your most important asset, and that's the other people. Hey, Quint,
absolutely.
Thank you for being here. Give us that website again one more time.
Thank you, as always, for what you do for small business.
Thanks, Quint. Give us your website one more time.
www.studergroup.com.
Thanks, Quint. Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Happy holidays, Quint. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Deborah Fine. And she is fine, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.